Hello and welcome to another episode of Afrologue. I am here, your trusted host. My name is Oyin and we're back with another great episode today. We're going to be talking about all things business, both in the UK and in terms of like Black-owned business in the UK, as well as business in Africa. I feel like we talked about this in our last episode, but we just wanted to delve in a little bit deeper. I hope you guys are entertained and informed today. And once again, we are your platform for informed debate on African issues. So I'm going to ask my colleagues here to introduce themselves, as always, quickly, I might add.
Hi, guys. I'm Thayna and I'm from Tanzania.
I'm Demi. I'm here again.
And today we have a new guest who's also going to feature as part of this episode. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. So my name's Victoria. I'm from Sunmo Snacks.
Whoop, whoop. So she's actually brought some amazing snacks for us today.
Very good.
If you are Nigerian, if you're West African, heck, if you're South American, you know how good this is. They are plantain chips. And like, honestly, it's just the best thing ever. I absolutely love plantain chips. I can wake up and eat plantain chips and go to bed with plantain chips. And she is a business owner and she produces.
It's a new slang word.
No, it's all right. Produces. Plantain chips. Do you want to tell us a bit more about your brand and the product?
Yeah, sure. So Sunmo Snacks, our first range of products is plantain crisps. They're in four delicious flavors. We've got smoked chili, sea salt, sweet cinnamon, and
Naturally sweet.
I forgot. But I think the most prominent thing about the company is a percentage of our profits go to orphans in Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
That's something that's very close to my heart and something that when I started the brand, I wanted to do a passion project, something that I knew would give back to the communities that the ingredients that we make come from. So, yeah. And there's a lot more to come with our brand as well. You can't see it on the podcast, but of course, if you go on our Instagram, Sunmo Snacks, it's very bold. It's nothing. It's like nothing you've seen before. So we definitely want to be a brand that stands out on the shelves, that brings a more urban, a younger vibe to our products that we eat every day, and stay innovative as well. So we're bringing out a range of sweet potato puffs as well.
Oh, that sounds good and very health focused.
Yes.
So with regards to Sunmo plantain crisps, if you are watching this video right now, which I will post on Instagram, I love the packaging. It's so simple, so straight to the point. I think it's
very, very bold.
And I feel like in terms of like our day and age, it's so, so appropriate. Mm. And one of the things that when we were discussing it before we started recording was what stands you out from other products in the market in terms of the content of the product itself. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, sure. So our plantain crisps are made out of sunflower oil as opposed to palm oil. Mm. I definitely wanted to make a product that's healthier than what we have out there. When I did focus groups, a lot of complaints were the consistency of plantain crisps, the taste. So we definitely brought a product that has quality ingredients. It tastes good all the time. Mm. And these are focuses that we had, as well as bringing out innovative flavors such as the cinnamon one and going forward from there as well.
That is so amazing. I know Dami and Bethena, you have tried the product. I am yet to try it.
tried the product. I have munched down. I've literally, like, we did a food show. What was it called?
The International Food and Drink Event.
Yeah, so okay. I went along.
Where was
to help.
My invite? Where,
can I be a judge or whatever? Like, I just munch, man.
It was a really good show, and I kind of went hoping that I'd be able to get some free snacks. And yeah, all four flavors are great. My favorite is the cinnamon. So
I'm excited to try the cinnamon because, like, I would never cross. Plantain chips
and cinnamon.
I commend you for that. That's so sick.
Thank you.
But I think because cinnamon goes well with bananas, I feel like they could definitely go well with plantain. Mm-hmm. What would you say in terms of the taste, you guys? Did you enjoy it? Was it good?
Yeah.
I like it. And you know me, I like anything spicy.
Oh yeah, so you have this the chili mm-hmm. flavor.
You should see the smile on her face. The what I like is the salted flavor. Mm-hmm. That one kind of tastes like a kettle chips type thing as well. Mm-hmm. So there's like a big kind of healthy crisps market as well.
Mm-hmm. And speaking on the kettle chips, like when you see the packaging, and it kind of does give you that kind of kettle chips kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Because normally, like with plantain chips, they just look like you know, those transparent, see-through like, you know, and then you'll see them next to like the chin chin ones. And then it's just like, and, like, I hate to say it, but it does look very basic. And
I do have to say as well, it looks very easy to open. I know that there's this particular plantain chips brand. I can't remember the name right now. Mm. I literally fight with that package. Like we're in a freaking tug of war just to open this thing. So that is such great thinking on your part, because it's so easy to open. And honestly, after the show, like, I'm finna dig in.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say.
I don't want to crunch in you guys' ears, but like right now I'm itching to try.
Can I ask you though, was it hard to start this? Like, because you look young, like.
Yeah. To be fair, there was a lot of learning that I personally had to do.
Okay.
It wasn't difficult in terms of, because we got investors on board.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm quite a workaholic. So, I mean, it doesn't bother me when I have to work a lot.
Mm.
So it wasn't hard in terms of me having to put the hours in. But I think just bringing the whole story together so it's cohesive, so people can kind of just relate to it straight away as soon as they see it. Mm. That took me building a team to be able to do.
Okay.
I think that was the hardest bit. But yeah, I mean, now we're speaking to buyers in the stores that we really want to get into.
Amazing.
Making sure that they buy into the product, put it in the right area of the store, of the supermarket is a bit of work as well. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's too hard. No, it's not too difficult.
One thing I want to mention is at the food show, there were obviously, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different companies and products.
Mm.
And there were some kind of black businesses for different products. Not a lot, but there were some.
Yeah.
So, Victoria, how did you feel about the competitive aspect of that? Do you feel like you were competing with other black businesses? Or in terms of, because there were other people there who had plantain chip products and African products. So, I mean, as far as I know, you definitely believe in supporting each other. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, I met a really cool black owned businesses there. I didn't actually see another plantain crisp company, but I heard that they were there.
Mm.
Okay. But yeah, no, I saw like Chapman Drinks and what have you. Yeah. And they're young black guys as well. I'm just like, okay, this is blowing my mind. Because when you look at the brand, you just think, you know, like, someone older is behind it, for example.
Fam, I make Chapman and my Chapman's good. I think there's something to go off here, you know.
But yeah, personally, I don't see it as competition when I see other people bring out their products because I know what I'm doing. So like, I know what our focus is and the difference that we bring, and as well as the innovations that I have that are coming out.
Mm.
So there's been other movers in the market since I've come in as well. And I look at their products and I just think, you're not doing what we're doing. So
like,
yeah, like no, I just good. See, and I'm just like, well, even on Instagram, for example, there's certain companies who have come out with a certain look and feel of their brand. They've seen us, they're already in places like Sainsbury's, and they've kind of changed their packaging or they've changed what they're offering to kind of mimic what we're doing. So I'm like, I kind of know, I already have the vision for where we're going. So it doesn't faze me when someone else comes in. And I'm open for collaboration as well. Like, I don't think we should just kind of be like, we're competing and it's only one that will win or what have you. I think if we really model it off of what Western brands have done, a lot of them do collaborations. There might be two iced coffee brands, but they work alongside each other. So I think that's really key to open up the market, building more awareness to the products as well. If we work together, that will build more awareness to get on the shelves. So
And there's enough space for everyone.
There really is. Literally. I mean, yeah. I'm sure one day someone thought potato crisps would be great and then they decided to work together and now it's a cultural thing, like across continents. Everybody eats potato chips. So yeah. I think definitely there is that potential for plantain chips to be cross-cultural and continental, really.
Yeah.
So that is so amazing. Yeah, I mean, plantain chips are really like dear to my heart. They're so good. And like, speaking of the product itself, so what is your price point per pack?
Yeah, so we are $189 per pack.
Okay.
So in terms of the plantain crisp market, we're not actually the most expensive. There are plantain crisps that are £2.50. Mm-hmm. But of course, I know a lot of people are used to, let's say, getting plantain chips from the market, which is like 60p or so.
Mm. With the kind of difficult packaging.
Yeah, the see-through one.
Yeah. So we are more premium than other brands, but of course we have that social element to our company. So when you pick up a pack and once you're eating it, you know that it's giving back to these causes. So it's definitely something that, you know, the socially aware, I think, are happy to give that amount just based on the fact that they know where it's going to.
Okay, tell us about the orphanages. Are you building an orphanage? Are you donating?
Yeah, so we are making sure we're donating food as opposed to finances to children in Nigeria. To say a bit more about it, so I traveled to Nigeria in 2014 and I met this young boy and his mother passed away, but his dad was kind of estranged. And it really touched my heart that, you know, at that age, the first love that you get is from your parents, but he didn't have that. So I was just like, oh. So by the time I got to the airport, I just started crying. He was like to me, when I left him, he was like, oh, bring me back a phone. And he was telling me about education over there and how teachers go on strike and he can't, you know, get access to what he needs. So he's like, bring me back a phone. And I was thinking, when I go back to Nigeria, I definitely have to bring something for him. So that's why I'm centered around orphans. There's so much you can do in Nigeria. You can give water, you can give, but for me personally, that's where my passions lie. So what we do is we link up with orphanages over there and we give them food. So each packet provides a meal for a child over there, and we buy the ingredients, get them to make it. So that's how it's able to provide actual meal. We buy the ingredients, get them to make it and what have you, and then give it out to the children.
That's amazing. That is so, so amazing. And is this orphanage open to further sort of support, or is it just focused on the proceeds from somewhere, just in case there are people out there who would like to contribute to the orphanage?
So we actually work with a number of orphanages.
Okay.
We're focused on one at the moment just because we're scaling, but it's not going to be just one orphanage. We're looking to work with a few. In terms of it being open for support, one thing that I have an idea of doing is having an app where people can see, connect with these children or connect with the orphanages directly. So if they want to donate to them themselves, that will be an avenue for them to do so.
Okay.
So yeah, that's something that we're definitely looking into doing.
That is so amazing.
Like that direct connection. Yeah. Like sometimes you just like throw the money away. You don't even know where it's going. Like you're just like, yeah, I've given. But yours is like more direct. You're there, you're seeing it as it goes.
That is amazing. Exactly. I'm so proud that we have like a black business owner who's very, very, very much social conscious.
Yeah.
Because as much as, yes, it's great to have black entrepreneurs, we have to realize that whether or not we accept it, our communities are disadvantaged. And whether it's here or on the continent in Africa, we do have a responsibility to do something about it.
This was the point I was making last time.
Yeah.
You remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I remember. Okay. It was a very, very, what's the word that was used before?
Animated.
Yeah, colourful conversation.
Ade was interesting on that. So yeah, no, I think that's really good. And that connection that Bethania mentioned is important. So people can kind of see where everything's going.
Yeah, and just a quick question. Like, did you study business before?
Yeah, so I studied accounting and finance at Cass Business School.
Ooh.
That helped me. That helps me hugely. So, I mean, I believe you can start a business without having a background in accountancy. But for me personally, it really helped me to start up without having to outsource that that side of things. Yeah. So financial forecasting, understanding where the money's going to go.
Yeah.
It helped me so much.
Yeah.
It's helped me so much. And even doing taxes and what have you, it's beneficial. You can hire someone to do that. But I'm able to do it myself, which is really
like it wasn't new to you. You had that knowledge. You had the background already.
Yeah.
So where are the plantain crisps? Where are they stocked at the moment? So that, you know, when we're there, we can definitely support and purchase.
Yeah. So we're stocked in Costco.
Okay.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
That is so gold. Jeez. That is so good. Yeah. Amazing.
That is goals as well, though.
Like. Yeah, it is goals.
I love Costco.
Yeah. And so we're in talks with some of the larger retailers now.
Okay.
From the show. Which is really good. So that's we amazing. Should be stocked in the Waitrose and places like that by we're in talks with them now,
I promise you when I go into a store and I see some more, I'm gonna take a photo with it,
of course.
Ooh, I'm so excited. Please do. I can't wait to see you in my local Asda.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm really gonna fangirl, so don't think it's creepy. Okay.
I mean, yeah, we could do a whole marketing campaign and just get everyone to do like Insta vids.
Yes, that'd be so much fun. Yeah. I would love that.
Okay, so two things.
Yeah.
One, what's your biggest piece of advice for any entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. And secondly, do you feel that being a woman has affected your journey in any way?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My biggest piece of advice would be to really plan what you're going to do. So think five steps ahead and don't be scared. Like, so for example, if you want to be on the big shelves, have that as a goal. Don't feel like you're limited to what you have around you at the moment. I think for me, it was very much like, okay, I've got this product. It needs financial backing for me to get to where I want to be. And I could have been like, okay, that's not possible. But I decided that, no, actually it is. And just that belief in yourself and what you're doing, that planning. So for example, you want investors.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do a financial forecast, like 5-year forecast to say, okay, we're going to be sold here in 5 years' time before I even had investors. But me planning that out meant that when an investor came along and they had the money to do that, it was already set in place. So we're going to be here, and here. We're going to make these sales. And that's why they gave money towards it. So I think don't limit yourself to what you have in your bank account or what other people have done, your age, anything like that. Just don't limit yourself. Just go for it and decide, this is what I want to do. So by any means necessary, I'm going to plan it and then it's going to happen.
Awesome.
As a woman, I think I haven't seen it limiting me being a female. I think for the most part, it's been something that other people have been inspired by. Mm. I haven't personally seen anything. I've actually heard stories of people going to, let's say, manufacturers and then being like, okay, we don't take you seriously. But I don't feel that that's the climate right now. Because whenever I've gone to speak to somebody, they've treated me and did what we needed them to do. So I haven't actually seen it as a limitation, but I can understand how it might be a limitation to some. Mm. But yeah.
Good stuff.
That is great. And I think, speaking about food, one of the things that came up in our discussions when we knew that we were going to have Victoria on the show was on this topic of African food and how healthy it can be or whether it isn't. Statistics show that Black and ethnic minorities, well, focused mostly Black, I would say Black African, our diet is very heavy in oil and very heavy in carbs and as well as sodium.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, a lot of us, especially those of us who are living outside the continent, tend to suffer from diabetes, high blood pressure, heart diseases. And it came up in conversation and we said, you know what, we're going to have a dialogue here on Afrolog. Victoria, can you just, where are you from?
Nigeria.
Okay, so Bethana is the only non-Nigerian person here today. So at least we could have a little bit of a contrast.
Yeah.
Because I know, like with Nigerian food, a lot of people go on and on about how it can be very unhealthy and you know, but we love it, right? We love it. It's what we've grown up with.
Yeah.
So what's everyone's take on that? I do have a final take on it, but I would really like to hear what people have to say.
Okay, well, I was discussing this with my sister because I was just like, we've got a lot of like, I don't know how your dishes are set up, but with us, there will always be like the meat or the chicken or the fish, like the bread or the rice, and then some kind of green or beans or whatnot. So I was just there like, no, we've got so many healthy alternatives, and especially for anyone that wants to be like vegetarian or vegan, we have so many options. Like, tell me a bean or a vegetable that we haven't managed to turn into like a soup or a stew or some kind of, you know? And then my sister was just there like, think of all the other things we have, like in terms of snacks as well. Like, you know, just like we have samosas, katalesis, all these things are like really oily. Like they're spicy and they're just like the salt is crazy. Like, and even us, when like the main part of our meals are like rice and bread, and that just sits in the stomach and takes a long time to process. And a lot of people carry a lot of water because their body just isn't processing it fast enough. And so she was just like, be real, Bethena, like it's not that healthy when we think about it. And I think also in my culture, weight is a sign of like a beauty, you've got to be curvy, and also health, because like, you know, we've got like HIV and AIDS, and like, if you're that skinny, you know,
you got, you can afford enough to eat, basically.
Wealth, like you've got the money, like, you know, someone's looking after you, so it's just like eating is just we're joyous people, we'll just be eating and we'll just be doing our thing and not worrying about the consequences, not counting calories. So I do have to admit, whether we like it or not, African food can be a bit unhealthy. That's my take on it.
Wait, should we just wait for it?
Yeah. Aura's just joined us, so he's just gonna settle in quickly.
So firstly, question for Victoria, which is, you mentioned that Sunmo chips have you use sunflower oil as opposed to plant, as
palm oil. Yeah,
so I think there's a health connotation there.
Yeah.
The second thing is that, I'm actually vegetarian, trying to transitioning towards veganism.
Why are you laughing?
He doesn't believe me. He doesn't.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
You know. Hear what he said? He said vegetarian to what? To veganism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's acting like you said a swear word.
That's
good.
So I think we need to be honest about our diets. I'm actually a big fan of cultural things. So for me, it's like, If that's what our people have been eating for thousands, I'm happy to eat it. Like, that's what we do, you know what I mean? But I think we need to be honest. One thing I don't like about meat is not that I don't like meat, but I don't believe we can be very I don't think we can be very sure about where our meat is coming from and how it's treated before it gets there.
Yeah.
Are you talking about here?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the point I wanted to make. But is there something about the oil?
Yeah, so we use sunflower oil compared to palm oil. I haven't compared it to palm oil, but compared to potato crisps, for example, it's 30% less calories.
Okay.
It's a healthier oil for you. Yeah.
Cool.
For sure. And then, of course, palm oil is more saturated fats, whereas sunflower oil isn't saturated fats. And saturated fats just like cling to your insides, and it's not a good oil to use, basically.
But then the thing is, culturally, we've always cooked with palm oil.
Yeah.
And our ancestors, it tastes good. Palm oil is amazing.
It is from the gods.
Heck, you realize, honestly, the Nutella that people scream about, I hate Nutella, by the way.
You don't like Nutella?
Nutella is nasty.
They put palm oil.
No way.
Nutella is made from palm oil.
I'm concerned about you.
I think Nutella is basic. It's not nasty.
It's nasty. Well, personally, I don't like anything chocolate flavored. So there's that.
Okay. So you don't like me?
Girl. Oh my God.
Why are you avoiding eye contact?
Don't be a hater. Anyway, palm oil is great. Palm oil has always gone into so many of our meals. I think, first of all, the problem with palm oil today is how often we use it. I think that's always a problem, because at the end of the day, moderation is key with everything. And secondly, the way palm oil is produced and processed is different. There are a lot more additives in palm oil than there were before. And that's because we want to preserve things longer so that they last on the shelf longer life, and things like that. So it does have effects on our bodies when we cook with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are different ways to process palm oil, in the sense that they can now remove the cholesterol from the palm oil. So you can get different types of palm oil that are healthier for you. But I would say one dietitian that I do know of, or nutritionist, she's Nigerian, but based in Canada. And she has come up with a diet plan on Nigerian food that works.
Amazing.
Like, it works. I've tried it for myself. I've not been consistent, but but it works. And if you're wondering who I'm talking about, her name is Ronke Edoho. She's on Instagram. She has not sponsored me. I've never spoken to her in my life. I literally don't know her personally, but I've tried her programs and they work and they're effective and you're satisfied, but you're still eating foods that you are used to. It's a question of substituting and portion control.
I don't like that word.
Really? Even things like Gary, for example, she pointed out plantain chips that are fried in palm oil, for example, can have like 500 calories as a snack, like a tiny little snack would just be 500 calories compared to just drinking Gary and groundnut. Gary and groundnut is actually a much more healthier option than snacking on plantain crisps with like that's fried from with palm oil. For example. Not Sunmo.
Can I just come in on that quickly, because I know we're going to talk about some more business stuff in a minute, but the last thing I want to say is I think there is something to be said for the fact that our diets, especially when we're coming hot African countries, our diets have gone a long way, I think, to help staving off diseases and conditions in the absence of like a good organized healthcare systems. So, for example, you know, we're talking about places where you have lots of people who grow up with families with the knowledge that, you know, there are different plants that you can use for different things. You don't need to go to a hospital, but our actual diet, the composition of the normal diet, you know, you get the yam from the ground or whatever it is. These things have that kind of health connection that's kind of direct in these places.
Yeah.
So I think that should be said as well.
Yeah. I mean, for example, my dad has been going to like this because he's older now and he's very diet conscious. So there's like a group in Leeds that caters to the Black population because of the issues with diabetes that I mentioned, and they educate like older Black communities on our diets and stuff. And one thing that he found out from that group is the fact that yam is a prebiotic, so it actually produces the right enzymes for your gut to be able to process food, as well as there are other foods that are probiotics that work together with things like yam to ensure that your digestive system is functioning properly.
This is why I like yam.
And yam has apparently been said that it contributes,
but isn't that based on the way it's made, like fried, boiled, etc.?
I guess it does, definitely. So I would say maybe a healthier option with yam would be to boil it rather than fry it. However, I found a hack. You always gotta find hacks. If you just, you know, you get a little cooking brush, brush some oil on the olive oil, extra virgin, on the yam.
Yeah.
And you grill it.
Okay.
That thing is sensational. This is good.
Okay, apart from wondering why Oyin smirked as she said virgin.
You're foul.
What you're saying, when you're boiling yam, you brush oil on it before you...
No. I'm saying if you want to have the taste of fried yam, because obviously fried yam is not the healthier option. If you want to have the taste of fried yam, just brush some oil on it, season it with some cayenne pepper and the paprika and a bit of salt. You can even add a little bit of sugar. And pop it in the grill.
Yeah.
And it's nice and crisp. It's great.
Actually, that's a good idea. Yeah.
That's a good idea. See, I know how to cook for myself, but... I'm not inviting nobody.
Oh, goddamn.
Wow.
Actually, since Ore just joined us, do you want to say hello?
How are you doing, guys?
We're good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm sorry I'm late.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
Sort of. But I did give you my word I was going to come.
Thank you. Fist bump.
We're going to do the business.
Yeah, so moving on. We're going to just talk about quickly today about African businesses and sort of like what is lucrative to invest in on the continent. And I do recognize that we spoke about this, I think, on our last episode or a couple episodes ago. But we just thought it would be good to come and discuss this again with like different perspectives and additions to the conversation. So I did do some research of my own. And let me just grab my phone quick for some facts.
And also, we asked everyone to think about an African business which they respected, liked, admired.
Mm.
So we're gonna go around and do that as well.
Yeah.
Might have to skip me.
You don't know any African businesses?
Dang good.
I'm joking.
Right. So some of the things that came up, and I do recognize that Nigeria does dominate in a lot of the results that I got from my research, but I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
We are doing big stuff, but there are other African countries that are doing amazing stuff. But one of the couple things that that were highlighted was crowd farming, fintech, and urban logistics. So with crowd farming, what that basically entails is people buying shares or investing a certain amount into an agricultural product. So for example, like pigs or goats or a particular type of crop. And basically all that does is it raises capital for the people that want to run that business. And also you basically enter a contract where it says this is going to be the return on X amount that you invest into the business. And that has actually become like a multi-million naira dollar business, particularly in Nigeria. Mm. I do know of the company that does Nigerian-made pork products. I think they're called Porkoyum. Mm. And they basically have a system where people donate, is it 250,000 naira or a million naira, and this is the return that you're going to get from that investment. It's basically investing in pigs. And what they do is they don't just sell the pigs just as poultry, just as pigs, but they also add value, which I think is great. So they process it into bacon and sausage and things like that. So it's really, really like such a good idea, and it's making a lot of money. Other companies include Farm Crowdy, Thrive Agric, and it really, the aim is just to enable working class people to be able to invest, because the investment points are quite low, like 250,000 naira to start off and open an investment portfolio. So that's great. That's probably about, what would be 250,000 naira being pounds? Maybe about £500 or so?
Maybe.
Or more?
300 to 500 pounds.
Yeah, so that's really great. And to be able to get a fixed return on that, that's guaranteed at least to a point. Then yeah, I think it's great. So I don't know if anybody else has.
So which company have you chosen? Is there one in particular that you... That you like, admire?
I would highlight Porkoyum just because I follow one of the CEOs, and her name is Gloria C, and she's just amazing. She's a boss. Somebody asked her the other day, how do you travel so much? She just said, I'm rich.
That's what I like.
Big money energy.
I'm rich.
I like that.
Big money energy. She does invest a lot in agriculture. She runs businesses on that, like import export on like ginger. Literally, export ginger. And she also is a CEO, which is part of the team that run Land Lagos, which is also like a land. They're basically making land more accessible to the working class person or the middle class person or whatever you want to call it. She's a boss.
That sounds good, actually. I would be interested to do that because they're fighting against prices. My one is Jobberman, which is just a jobs website, a jobs board in Nigeria. And people can go on there and search for jobs, and employers can post job openings. And it's really big. It's really successful. It's owned by Africans. They've made a lot of money now, and I think they get 3,000 people applying every day.
Wow!
I think three. Well, they get.
So is it like an Indeed, but in Nigeria?
It's a more interactive indeed.
Okay.
So the employers are more kind of responsive. Whereas with Indeed, you can, I know this, you can apply for something on Indeed and never hear back from the employer.
Right.
But Jobberman, the employer, is just supposed to be more interactive and it's supposed to be a faster turnaround. Mm. So yeah, lots of young people, and they do for all stages of the recruitment process. So new graduates and from middle tier and then right up to executives and CEOs and things.
Yes.
So yeah, Jobberman.
Interesting.
Of course.
Okay. I may have missed the memo because I thought we were just talking about companies that we admire.
Okay. No.
Yeah, it's an African, as long as it's African company.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about two things because obviously being Tanzanian and being, well,
Omanian.
English. Oh, okay, sorry. Ain't nobody talking about my racist grandparents coming up.
Triggered. No, it's true though.
I wanted to first talk about Cosbox because they're in England, but it's like mainly for Black women. And for me personally,
what do they do?
So it's like a, I don't know if you know about, what's another Western one? You know, there's like subscription boxes and you get like lotions and makeup and all that kind of stuff. So every month, you know, there's loads of them, but I can't really remember a name now.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's more for Black women. It's Cosbox. And first of all, like the images they put up on Instagram is just so powerful, like just beautiful women, all types of shades. And, you know, just sometimes you need that reminder that we are the shit. So they are that. Also, because I think a lot of boys, mostly Black boys, like make jokes about how, you know, oh, welcome to my YouTube channel, da 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 da. And it's just like you're downplaying a sector that is like very lucrative. Like if you look at Zoella and that, they've managed to literally become millionaires from this. I don't think it is saturated enough. There's so much space for so many Black women to get into it because it is mostly like white YouTubers, like white makeup artists that get all the like
collaboration.
Yeah, get all the big deals and name brands and holidays and all that stuff. So it's inspiring to see Black girls taking what they could just do as a hobby. And, you know, as you said before, was it about it's impossible, whatever, and just chill with it.
Yeah.
But then they're running with it and they're making something of themselves. So even though we like to banter about these girls, like, I just find it so amazing that...
Could we name a few of them?
Yeah. See,
we'll get some in the link below the podcast.
Okay, so apart from Cosbox, so, you know, you've got like Nella Rose, you've got Patricia Wright, all these people.
Okay.
But I do think that there's so much space for more Black women to get there.
Yeah. And I would just say, I came across an Italian Nigerian woman on Instagram yesterday. She's a beauty guru. Her name is Loretta.
Okay.
She's amazing. And I just love seeing Africans speaking different languages.
Yeah.
And actually providing an avenue for those Africans who are in those similar spaces to find someone to relate to. Because it's not every day you find an African speaking Italian.
Yeah.
And if you're an Italian person who's seen an African beauty guru speaking the same language as you, that's so dope. Yeah, so that's great. Ori?
I didn't get the memo either. But, there are two, one established and a new one-ish. Chocolate City, the record label.
Oh, yeah.
They had a new, I think it's a venture, joint venture with
Warner Bros.
With Warner Bros. And I guess I was very pleased because obviously I'm interested in music lore, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like it would be a very big sort of a new move for us, a move ahead for us in terms of our artist exposure and them getting control of their publishing, them getting educated on their music, their streaming. Maybe Spotify one day will arrive in Nigeria and et cetera. Just it's going in a good direction. So I was very pleased about that. It was some recent news. And the second would be a mutual friend of ours in Attican Beach.
Oh yes.
I'm pleased because I remember the blueprint. The owner, Rihanna Tiku, I'm gonna plug his name in. Okay.
Yeah, so, and what is Attican Beach?
So Attican Beach is essentially, it's a beach in Lekki, into a resort, sort of a location where you can do all sorts of things. You can party, you can barbecue, you can have weddings,
speedboat,
you can do all of that. And I guess I'm happy because he followed through on a plan. He had a blueprint that he showed me, he drew it out for me, and he's trying to establish something. Now, I know in Nigeria we have a lot of lounges, and we have a lot of places to go, but we also know that longevity is key. Mm. So, for instance, recently, and this is not to knock anybody down, but I heard Escape has shut down.
Yeah.
What's that? What's that?
Escape is a club.
Okay.
It's a club in Nigeria that has shut down, and okay. the owner was pissed and blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, Atikan Beach, Chocolate City, I'm pleased. I'm proud of you.
Awesome. And Victoria, so I think today we've covered quite a few businesses.
Yeah, so there's one company called The Paper Packaging Company. Mm. I think for me, there's a huge, wastage issue in Nigeria. It's based in Nigeria. And you just see plastic everywhere, like on the floor. You see pure water packets everywhere, bottles everywhere. So what they're trying to do is make recyclable and biodegradable packaging, which I think is huge. And then also I like that they are actually producing packaging over there to a good standard. So you see a lot of products that are just packaged anyhow, but they're bringing out a higher standard of products, which is what I like. So
awesome. So we are, you know, value adding, which is always great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think we've had a pretty productive conversation this episode. And I'm so grateful again to Victoria for being with us today.
Yes,
thank you. Guys.
Shout out again to Sun Mo. So it's spelled S-U-N for November, M for Moses, and O for Oscar. So Sun Mo Plantain Crisps. You can find these crisps at your local Costco. Mm-hmm. And we are hoping that we will see them on the shelves of our local Waitrose and Asda.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Costco is great because you can really stock up.
I hear you.
Just stock up. So I'm definitely, when I go back home, I'm going to steal my dad's Costco card.
Yeah, that membership is important. That's a key plug, guys. Costco membership.
Yeah. It is so important. And please, let's go out if you're in the UK and support Victoria. I think this is great. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's a healthy snack. Let me actually just look.
What's healthy your favorite flavor, by the way? Which flavor?
My personal favorite is smoked chili.
The chili.
Okay.
Right. Smoked chili, then sea salt is a close second. I love them all, to be fair.
I just have to say that the fact that it's less than 200 calories makes me love it even more. Like, could you have a better... Like, I like to eat plantain guilt-free. Mm-hmm. And you have done that for us. God, we bless you. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's such a great snack. And I really hope that we all do go out and support this brand. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, our listeners and viewers, for joining us today. And we hope to catch you on our next episode. This is Afrolog.